Hi, this is David Wilcock with DivineCosmos.com. You are about to hear an interview I conducted with Benjamin Fulford on November 2nd, 2010. I'm only now releasing it on May 11th, 2011 for various reasons. There is an introduction that I did which is of CD length. It's on my website, DivineCosmos.com. I recommend listening to that before you listen to this, as it's all preemptive material that helps you to understand what we were discussing and the context of when we were discussing it. The end of this interview was clipped off, and I will be back with you for another brief note after that interview concludes. So now, without further ado, I bring you my interview with Benjamin Fulford. Enjoy. Hi there, this is David Wilcock, and this is DivineCosmos.com. I'm here with Benjamin Fulford, who is the former East-West editor for Forbes magazine. And Benjamin actually ran afoul of the powers that be several years ago now, when he started to uncover a trail of corruption that led back to millions and millions of dollars, if not, in fact, billions of dollars that have been siphoned out of Japan over the years and redistributed to the dreaded Illuminati. So his research uncovered the idea that there are two major factions. There is a European faction run by the Rothschilds, a Western faction run by the Rockefellers. And he's taken a lot of abuse on the internet, but in fact, many, many times, if you pay attention, Benjamin's sources have in fact accurately predicted things that were going to come out in the news before they happened. The reason why I wanted to talk to you today, Ben, is because you've been saying on your blog, you have a subscriber-only blog at benjaminfulford.net, which I highly recommend everyone go check out. I think you're doing a phenomenal job. Every week, you're busting out a new article, and they're awesome. So I want to thank you for that.
That blog is available also for free to anybody who asks for it, but they have to actively ask for it.
Oh, that's very nice of you. But you don't want people redistributing it on the internet, right? I mean, that's obviously bad.
They can forward it to their friends, but they shouldn't post it on a homepage. The reason I have to do that is because I'm not allowed by Japanese law to ask for donations.
Oh, understood.
Okay. I do have bills to pay. But yeah, I became involved with a lot of different forces. But what really happened was I found out that former Japanese finance minister Heizo Takanaka had changed the rules in the Japanese financial system so that all the Japanese companies were forced to share their famous cross-shareholdings in banks. In other words, Japanese corporations and banks used to own each other. Suddenly, he forced all the corporations to sell their shares in banks, and they were bought up by some trust funds like State Street and Banking, Chase Manhattan and stuff. And during his reign, 33.3% of the holdings in all of Japanese financial institutions went into the hands of people who I traced through, a lot of legwork to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. So I was able to link conspiracy theory with an actual event that I can prove in a court of law of takeover of the Japanese financial system. We're talking trillions of dollars here, not billions.
Wow. So this is a full-scale privatization of the Japanese financial system.
Well, it's more like blackmail and murder and robbery, not privatization. It's from one private to an individual to another by point of gun. It's like someone sticking you up. It's they're not privatizing your money, they're stealing it, and as a result, I got involved with a bunch of organizations that most people, including myself, when they heard about, you sort of laugh nervously, you say Freemasons, and you dismiss the topic. But it turns out there are, at the very top levels of global power, many secret organizations. And they have to be secret because at the top levels of world power, there's a lot of assassination and poisoning and other stuff going on. And so people need to protect themselves by keeping secret. And there is a big battle now to take down the group of families that owns the Federal Reserve Board. And the reason why is because they are the people who are in the war and oil business, and they're the ones behind 9/11 and these invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan, and they've been trying to start World War III. And a lot of people are just disgusted with this behavior and don't think it's civilized or even very good business.
Well, you've been a very vocal proponent of not necessarily having everyone in these groups being assassinated, but really more like target the top of the pyramid, and bring them into tribunals, not necessarily have them killed or even, you know, tortured or anything like that, even though a lot of people seem to want that. And I think that policy is sound, because if we don't allow these guys to withdraw with dignity, then they're just going to try to take down the whole planet along with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're sort of trying to do that anyway. But the point I always said was, look, first of all, after I confronted Finance Minister Takenaka with his crimes, they sent a self-described assassin, a guy called by the name of Shiramina, and I have a tape recording of this conversation and photographs, and I have a video of my interview with Takenaka. He said, look, either we're going to kill you or we're going to make you Minister of Finance. And then he went and said, look, in order to protect the environment, we have to kill 4 billion people, and since they don't die through war very much, we're going to use starvation and disease.
Right.
And I have this on record. I can prove it. And of course, it's available to anybody who does the research. I mean, these people don't make their writings that secret. They just think that only the really intelligent people read them, and therefore they'll agree with them, you know, which is very arrogant, to say the least.
No doubt.
No doubt. So the point is, there really is a battle here where billions of lives are at stake. And it was a Chinese or an Asian secret society that came to protect me. And they're not, you know, I mean, they're not necessarily nice people, but at least their society can only be used for the greater good. It can't be used for personal profit. And they were activated because they had confirmed independently that SARS was a genetically engineered disease that was targeted certain genes that mostly only Asians have. So this is all, you know, old history. But the point is that there has been, since then, a financial war going on.
And, yeah.
And by the way, they just yesterday offered, the Federal Reserve Board offered a member of our group $500 million to drop the lawsuit we're having against the Davos World Forum and the United Nations, and an individual introduced to us by the Illuminati, by the Vatican Freemason P2 Lodge, by the name of Daniel Dal Bosco. And what we did was we gave them about $1 trillion worth of 1930s vintage bonds, Federal Reserve bonds, that were backed by gold they took from China.
Hmm.
Basically, they never expected to have to pay back these bonds, okay?
Hmm.
Saying, hey, here, you wrote this check for $1 trillion. We want to cash it. And they said, well, give it to us. We'll give it to Mr. Dal Bosco. And we give it to him, and he turns around, and he takes it to the Chinese communists. He takes it to the Senate Finance Committee. He takes it to the UN, tries to cash it, and they all say no. UN says, we'll give you $100 million to burn the bonds. You know, but this is, I mean, it's sort of like a comedy. I mean, these guys never expected they would have to pay back one of these checks they wrote. Because in the past, if anyone tries to cash their check, they kill them. Or, you know, and these are the people, they killed Kennedy, because Kennedy made a deal with the non-aligned nations to set up a new financial system and put an end to the phony Cold War. And the non-aligned nations pooled a bunch of gold and stashed it in Southeast Asia and other places, and gave him 144,000 tons of gold.
Gosh.
To back a new U.S. government controlled dollar. That is to say, it wasn't controlled by the privately owned Federal Reserve Board. It would have been put under the control of the Congress.
Right, that was Executive Order 11-110 that he tried to get passed to abolish the Fed.
Well, I mean, what I heard is he'd actually, I mean, I don't know about abolishing the Fed, but he started, you know, issuing dollars that weren't Fed dollars.
Right, like Treasury notes.
Yes, and they assassinated him, and then they went after General Sukarno, who was the signatory for the non-aligned nations. That is to say, you know, when they wanted to move the money, somebody at some point has to sign those trillion-dollar checks. This is a little secret that they don't like people to know about, because anybody who has that job is in great danger. And theoretically, such a person should be like the number zero in a calculator, in totally neutral, just
right,
making sure all the, you know, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and saying, okay, punk, this is the money can go. But anyway, they killed 500,000 people in Indonesia and incarcerated another 1.5 million before they finally got Sukarno out of power. And then they fraudulently claimed that they had inherited the rights to this money since Sukarno's time, using a man by the name of R.C. Dam as their front. R.C. Dam was supposedly a member of the Cambodian royal family, but investigations by U.S. authorities, okay, reveal that he's actually from Kyrgyzstan, which is a republic near the border of China.
Right.
Furthermore, we now have a document, an actual document linking Alan Greenspan with fraud.
Wow.
This is no longer a... This is something we can take in court, to court, you know?
Well, that's the big thing you guys are working on, is you need to have an open chain of attribution that leads back to these New World Order Illuminati guys. You can't.
Well, that's what we've got.
Right. I see.
We're just preparing the court case now, but you see, I can link Hazel Takanaka to murder threats and to handing over illegally, I would say, control of the Japanese banking system to some oligarchs. And I can link these people to specific murders in Japan as well, including the murder of Prime Minister Takeshita.
Mm.
You know, and so these people are very, very upset, needless to say, and they're very scared.
Well,
because
I read you say that you went on Rents this past week and that you talked about this, and then apparently your intel sources said that there was a lot of chatter on the phone lines. Could you describe what that was briefly?
Well, there was a lot of phone calls after that interview. You know, we're not going to name names now, but specific individuals were caught saying, hey, if you let them make me a fall guy for this, I'm going to tell them everything I know. I'm going to make sure that I don't just take the blame for this alone. This type of phone call.
Now, these are Bilderberg Illuminati type guys.
Yeah, and then a lot of people saying, hey, don't talk on the phone, you stupid idiot. You know, a lot of that kind of stuff. But clearly, and then Etienne Davignon, the chairman of the Bilderberg Group, actually called us and said that the Bilderberg was not opposed to the lawsuit going ahead and that they were after the same people. And he said, look, I sleep well at night. All I can say to him is he should really have a press conference with people like, you know, Prison Planet and Jeff Rentz and you and whatever, there to ask the sort of questions that, you know, corporate slave journalists aren't going to ask. And we'll know if he's sincere or not.
Right, because the corporate slave journalists are part of something they call vertical integration, which is that all these media companies are basically just military-industrial complex assets.
Yeah, and they have cushy jobs with good pay, and they don't want to become unemployed because they got a family and stuff. And so they go along with it. Either they're brainwashed, okay, which is often the case, or else, which is also often the case, they really know what's going on, but they're just too scared to do anything about it.
So how does the average person who may not be into all the technical details know that this case that you're describing is something where there's actually fire behind the smoke that actually could go somewhere and not just be another story that we hear on the internet that doesn't end up turning into anything? How do we know that it's really going to go somewhere?
Well, you're not going to know until it's actually filed in the court.
Okay.
And then it's on a matter of the public record, and we'll make the lawsuit public on the internet. So until then, you can say that there's a lot of credible evidence, but you can't say for sure until it happens.
Right.
But a lot of people have come forward. They've ripped off a lot of governments. We have a Mr. A. Shadili, who runs a group called the Shadili Group Limited, who has provided us with documents showing that Alan Greenspan was involved in his company out of billions of dollars. We've got a lot of very concrete stuff. This is no longer, you know, this is not the usual stuff where, you know, you have to take, you know, regurgitating historical quotes about the Fed. We're talking specific crimes that can be proven in court and that can be linked straight to people like Alan Greenspan. That's why they're very nervous about this.
Well, you can't hold somebody accountable who has a gun unless you have a gun. So what's the gun? What's your gun?
Well, the thing is that there are these Asian secret societies, and they're not—they're widely misunderstood. At the very top, they're run by sort of Christian or Maoist principles.
Okay.
It can only be used for the greatest good and stuff like that. But the point is that at times of crisis, you know, Chinese and Asian gangsters will respond to requests from the Chamber of Commerce, and we also have lots of people in the U.S. military. We have the National Security, the NSA backing us. We have a lot of people in the Pentagon backing us, and a lot of people in the agencies. You know, a lot of people, you know, when they join the CIA, they think they're working to protect America and spread democracy and stuff. When they find out they're working for some drug-dealing criminals, they get very disillusioned. And so we have all these patriots within these organizations who are saying, yes, we would like to free the American people from control through finance. And let's face it, the ability to print dollars out of nothing is a very, very powerful thing. Okay? We're all taught that the central banks need to print out money in just a certain amount so as not to create inflation. But what they don't say is that after they create this money, they get to sit down in a room and decide who's going to get it, how to divvy it. You say, okay, here's $1 trillion for you, here's $1 trillion for you. You go buy the newspapers, you go start a war. And they've been doing this for 100 years, and they thought they could get away with it forever. They were pretending to be God.
Yeah.
And it's blowing up in their faces. They've created enemies all over the world. They've been, they had a sort of France. The United States and England had a 50-year mandate after Bretton Woods to control the system, and that mandate ran out in 1994. And since that time, they've been resorting to all sorts of trickery to keep themselves going, but the clock is ticking, and time is running out for them.
Well,
and I'm very worried they're planning something totally horrific between now and before they go bankrupt, which the big payments deadline is January 30th.
Yeah.
And all of my sources are saying that they don't know what's going to happen, how they're going to meet their bills. It's just not known now. But we do know that the Chinese president, Hu Jintao, is due in Washington just before that deadline. So there's some very serious, high-powered, you know, horse trading going on right now, and nothing has been settled for sure yet.
Well, Ben, I've also been speaking to a bunch of sources that corroborate some of the stuff that you've been saying, as well as give other stuff that you haven't said. And I've been writing on my blog that there is a window that begins right after the elections in November where they want to devalue the dollar first between 15 and 25% and then have a series of events that lead to a freezing of the credit system and ultimately drive down the world economic systems, that hopefully within 6 months their plan is that all flow of currency stops and people starve to death, and that's how they get their 4.5 billion casualties. Now, there is something that just happened. I was talking about this on my website. The Federal Reserve is doing something called QE2. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah.
Qualitative Easing 2, where they're basically saying they're going to flood the American economy with a minimum of $500 billion of new money, which is basically the same thing as the TARP bailouts, only in a different form. Could go to $1 trillion, could go however much more. And there's a guy out there who obviously is a Bilderberg saying, yeah, this is probably going to reduce the value of the dollar by 20%.
Which is the problem is this. 90% of the dollars ever created are not owned by Americans. And these people do not want the dollar to become worthless paper.
Right.
And what's already happening is, you see, the Americans have this huge deficit with the rest of the world. For 30 years, as you know, ships have been going to the U.S. full of stuff and leaving empty, or maybe filled with cardboard for recycling in China or something.
Right.
You know, and they've been able to do it by printing dollars. And that's coming to an end big time. And even if they print all these dollars, already countries like Korea and Brazil are putting capital controls. They're saying, you're not going to be able to take those funky dollars of yours and invest them in our country. So it's not going to work. What's going to happen is the dollar is going to collapse, and a new system will have to replace it. Now, these guys were going to go down kicking and screaming. They're going to do everything they can to, you know, create their havoc and kill their billions. And it's a very, very sensitive time right now. But our group is trying to come up with a replacement for the U.S. dollar that would not be under the control of private individuals, but would be part of a new institution. And a lot of details have yet to be worked out, but it'd be a meritocracy somewhere. But anybody could apply for a job, and anybody who's good enough would rise to the top of that organization, and everything they did would be totally transparent and available for all to see, to replace the secretive system that is now in place. And they're doing everything they can to stop that from happening. The Chinese, for their part, are saying, we'll just wait for the dollar to blow up and we'll replace it with the yuan. But that would then put things under the control of the Chinese central bank. And a lot of people would rather not have that happen either. You know, you don't want to change control of the world via the Fed with control of the world from the Chinese Communist Party, you know. We want something that's neutral between all countries and fair and transparent. So that's what our group is fighting for.
You've been saying on your paid blog now all year that China has been working up to some sort of major announcement, and now you're saying the announcement is going to go forward. You got all these world leaders that have rushed to China. You got the head of NASA that rushed to China. Geithner, Hillary Clinton's over in China. Obama stops off in India. He's on his way to China. It seems like there's something big getting ready to happen. And of course, I've been writing about what this is, and I find out now that it's leaked on the internet. But it does seem that China has now made its move. I found on Godlike Productions that there's multiple leaks now about the fact that China sent packages to all these different countries. This is something I also heard, which I only alluded to in my blog. China sent these suitcases to these countries. The countries were told, this is most of the major countries in the world. Countries were told, if you open this before October 13th, it's going to blow up. And 6 miles around you will be completely wiped out. So then on October 13th, they opened it up, and there was a series of documents inside, and apparently technology, which includes a cell that can be dropped into a car as a battery, and the car will run 1,000 miles on a gallon of water. Now, I've also heard and seen it on Godlike Productions, so it's not just me now that's hearing this, it's other people too, that China has found some sort of alliance with somebody who's not from here, some benevolent ETs, and you actually mentioned this too, from the 1940s, they've been in an alliance with them.
All right. The only thing I heard, and this comes from a senior Vietnamese general,
okay.
Is that, yes, the group known as the Dragon Family, which is not the same as the Red and Green that originally approached me, but they are in communications with each other, has been allied with friendly ETs since the 40s. Apparently, they were very, very badly mistreated when they first showed up. You know, they showed up kind of like, well, we're here, we don't want war, you know, we want to do nice things, and they were, like, shot and captured and whatever, and mistreated.
By who now?
Well, this is a big question. This is what we're trying to find out. So far, we've traced it to the owners of the Federal Reserve and some group that seems to have a base in the mountains of Switzerland. And, you know, the Italian Illuminati say that they are, you know, otherworld beings. And I, when I say otherworld, I don't mean from other planets. I mean from other dimensions.
Okay.
Now, I'm saying this, this is what I heard, but, you know, this is, so I have the Italian Illuminati saying they have these trans-dimensional beings that they meet in Switzerland. And we have these Asian societies saying that they got nice guys who are trying to help us. But I don't know about this for myself through personal contact or experience. What I do know is that my sources, which include very high people in the Japanese military intelligence, in the NSA and the MI6, a lot of good sources at a high level, mm-hmm. none of them have told me about any Chinese suitcases, okay?
Okay.
And so I cannot confirm that. I have been told there's some kind of huge announcement coming up, but they won't tell me what it is. That much I can also confirm.
Okay.
So that's as far as I know about that question. However, I do know from my sources that the members of the Bilderberg and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, etc., have been individually warned that they had better step aside. They've been approached, and they know. So there is, at the very top level of the planet, people are very, very aware of the situation. They know it to be true. That is to say that there is a powerful group that's wanting them to step aside. But the problem is they want to make sure they completely drain the swamp and flush out all the swamp creatures before they put water back in. In other words, they're trying to clean out all the corruption before they get the new system going.
I want to tie that into what you told me in our last conversation about the Pentagon, but before we go there, I want to do a little bit more on this China topic because it's really significant.
All right. One other thing I want to say, there is, I have seen with my own eyes a battery technology that would make it possible to replace oil for an petroleum-based energy by using solar and wind power. It's a vanadium-based battery. I've seen it. So there is technology that I've seen with my own eyes, not just stuff I read on the internet, and it is supported by the Chinese. And apparently, this the technology they showed me is not even the best that's out there. Another thing I can confirm from a very senior Japanese industrialist, okay,
mm-hmm.
is that they built a factory with this new technology, and the factory was blown up, and the inventor was murdered by people linked to the Federal Reserve Board.
Oh, my God.
And also a Japanese politician, one of the top men in the Japanese government, told me that the Japanese had the technology to burn water for fuel 30 years ago and was suppressed by the Americans.
Well, yeah, because they wanted to take us off the gold standard and put us on the oil standard, even though it's never been officially announced as such.
Well, they just don't want to lose power. That's
right.
All. They're
exactly.
willing to slow human progress and everything they can to stay in power.
Right. Okay, well, now get a load of this.
Mm-hmm.
My sources, now bear in mind, I have people who are at levels of classification very much above the need to know for the President of the United States, as most of these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
They have absolutely, unequivocally demonstrated their bona fides. And what I'm hearing is, again, it was apparently July 28th that these briefcases were given to the various world leaders. They were opened on October 13th. Inside contains documentation and working prototypes of these free energy devices. And apparently, China now has the technology, which appears to be the result of them being in collaboration with the same friendly ETs that you've mentioned. China has done a bunch of crazy things. First of all, they apparently have rivals in China, and on September 30th, it was announced that there was a virus called Stuxnet that had shut down 6 million computers in China, and the Iranian nuclear reactor Bushehr was also shut down, but then the Iranians said this has nothing to do with the virus. That apparently was China demonstrating this technology, according to my sources. Then on October 22nd, the British have a brand new nuclear submarine that they've put out there for the first time. It's never been used before. It's called the Astute. It's their best thing. It loses power on October 22nd, and not even the backup systems work, and it actually drifts into the shoreline. Then on October 23rd, the very next day, the United States loses 50 missiles, Minuteman III, at Warren Air Force Base in these nuclear silos. They literally went completely offline. And then even more recently in France, there was a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier called Charles de Gaulle, and that also lost power. So what I'm being told is that China has formed some sort of alliance with these ETs. They're using ET technology to power down the nuclear missiles in America, the UK's nuclear submarine, France's nuclear aircraft carrier, Iran's nuclear reactor, their rivals in China's computers, and they're basically saying, if you stop what we're trying to do, we're going to kill you, and we're going to kill your toys. Also, China apparently has sent a probe to the moon, and they are wanting to photograph what they believe to be ruins up there and bring back high-resolution photographs, and apparently that's also part of what this announcement is going to be. So I don't know if any of this is anything you've heard, but I find this a fascinating story, and it also makes us have to look at China, and the question is, if they have this level of power, if they're actually responsible for the Astute, the nuclear submarine in the UK, if they're responsible for the nuclear warheads in the US, the Charles de Gaulle in France, they're responsible for powering down Iran's nuclear reactor, can we trust the Chinese, or are they basically just trying to posture themselves to be the next New World Order? I mean, what do you think? Do you have any sense of this?
No, I think, first of all, a general thing about China is if you look at their history, they haven't gone around invading other countries. And they've always preferred peaceful relations. So as a general rule, I do not worry about China. However, I have heard, for example, the Bushes and their group provided China with all sorts of U.S. military secrets, including the stealth technology that allowed them to send a submarine to the surface right behind a U.S. nuclear aircraft carrier.
Right.
And so there is a group within the Illuminati. They realize that China has suddenly grabbed power, and what they've been doing is they've been saying to the Chinese, hey, you know, we'll give you anything. We'll give you rulership of the world. We'll give you Japan. We'll give you Siberia. Just, you know, work with us. And so I'm a bit worried. There is a group that has been planning a kind of a, you know, a fake ET invasion, and maybe they've found a faction in China allied with them. But having lived in Asia for close to 30 years, and having originally believed that a war with China was inevitable, I don't think that anymore. I really think China is more like a beautiful woman or handsome man ready to have offspring with you. You know, it's not something to be feared. But having said that, China is not a monolith. It's like when you say China, it's like saying Europe. There are many factions and groups and different opinions.
Right.
But they do want world peace, and they do want to develop all the forbidden technology. And I believe they favor a form of government which I favor, which is meritocracy.
So you're saying that the guys that are, like, suppressing the internet and are trying to close down on free speech and keep this communist iron grip are not necessarily representative of China as a whole. You're saying China is a very complex sociological study.
Absolutely. And I think the Chinese who have lived overseas, and there was a lot of Chinese who were chased out during the Qing Dynasty 300 years ago. It was a very, very serious suppression, lots of murder, and many, many Chinese fled China to Southeast Asia and around the world at that time. And they have powerful allies in China and in Taiwan. And they are much less xenophobic than the people who've never really left China. And they have a much more, you know, open world view. And I think these are the people who are, you know, in the driver's seat at this point.
Well, if you heard that these ETs showed up in the 1940s and they were mistreated, do you think this is the Roswell crash or something? I mean,
look, I've always tried to avoid the ET issue for the following reasons. Basically, even if they're around, for some reason, they're not able to contact the average people. You don't see them wandering around the shopping malls.
True.
You don't see them on TV. I can't go and buy a ticket to another planet at the local space station, you know? So I do believe we need to focus on what we really know is happening around us, and we have the capability ourselves to go into the universe to solve our problems. And, you know, I had a Pentagon guy came to visit me, and he said, look, you know, we went out to the moon, and we were going to go off to explore Mars and stuff, and suddenly everything stopped in the 1970s. It's like we've been put under quarantine. And I think that if I were an intelligent ET, I would also put this planet under quarantine. I wouldn't let them out, because right now we're ruled by a very dangerous, predatory, and warmongering group of people. You know, the people who have been running, especially Western civilization, have been very, very nasty to the rest of the world. They've been out there plundering and killing and stealing for a very long time. And if the planet is in charge of people like that, they don't want them out in the universe, because, you know, it's like releasing a dangerous virus. So if we manage to clear up our own affairs and, you know, become a morally correct, I'm not saying, you know, politically correct. What I'm saying is, you know, you don't steal, you don't kill, you don't rape type of thing. We go peacefully, then we'll be allowed out into the universe. And that's why I think it's important for us to solve our own problems by ourselves and not wait for ETs to come and do it for us.
I couldn't agree more. I'm just interested in the fact that the stuff that I'm hearing combines very interestingly with the stuff that you've been sharing on your blog.
And
China appears to have come into some sort of technology that's allowing them to deactivate nuclear devices and basically seize computers and effectively create a massive form of deterrence where whatever announcement it is they want to make can go forward. Now, where that's coming from, I don't know, but the source is clearly saying that they're the ones responsible for these events that I was describing. So
it could well be. There's another thing that I've been hearing from my sources who have been otherwise reliable,
mm-hmm.
who are telling me that there are people out there who are hundreds of years old. They talk about a 600-year-old guy here in Japan who's got, like, these really long fingernails and long beard, you know?
Right.
Who's secretly in charge.
Like Kabuki Theater.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but then there's a talk about one of the Chinese lady who's 129, who's, you know, everyone knows her name, and I won't say it, but she supposedly died years ago, but apparently she didn't die.
Huh.
You know? There's another interesting thing that I think you should note. I don't know if you look at moon charts, you know.
Are you talking about astrology?
No, I'm talking about full moon.
Okay. Charts of the moon's surface from, like, photographs?
No, just full moon phases.
Oh, okay, got it. Right.
Now, as far as I know, there's always been 28 days between one full moon and the next. What I'm seeing now is we're having like 31 days between the November full moon and the December full moon. Now, that's very, very unusual, to say the least. And it happens that means a full moon coincides with a lunar eclipse and the winter solstice. This is all very, very unusual, you know. I could be wrong, but I'm hearing stuff about observations that people are being, you know, who know where the sun sets on the horizon every day. They're saying it's not setting at the right place. I could be wrong, but it could be something very important. It's an issue that people need to look into.
I would think there would be very significant disruptions in the tidal system if the moon's orbit was changing. But
yeah, I would be. I mean, yeah. I could be wrong on this, but clearly a lot of stuff is happening. And more to the point is that there was, as I mentioned before, there was a blue moon, which is two full moons in a month, December of 2009. And it was a blue moon in January in Asia, but a blue moon in December in the West. And it coincided exactly with the New Year's. And the moon, if you actually saw it, was actually blue, which is not supposed to be. And what I'm trying to say is I believe we're dealing with people who have, you know, when I've talked to these Illuminati and people, they say that they're heirs to a very ancient technology and science.
Right.
And a lot of what they do is based on what we call astrology, or they make their long-term planning based on movements of the skies. So it's a little bit like you have some Jesuits show up, you know, 10 years before you're due for a full solar eclipse. And then they try to convert you and they teach you their stuff. And then when the time comes, they say, hey, if you don't convert, we're going to destroy the sun.
Right.
I think we're dealing with people who have been planning something for a very, very long time. We should not underestimate what we're dealing with here. We're clearly in unexplored territory, and we need to keep very, very realistic, scientific, but also open-minded as we go approach the situation.
Yeah, this is an interesting sideline, because I was just contacted out of nowhere after a couple of years by a guy who worked directly with the Reagan family, worked directly with the Clintons, has classification many levels above the need to know of the president. He contacted me out of nowhere, pulled a lot of strings to find me, and then said that beginning in November is when they're trying to get all this stuff done. He said there was a November 2010 window, but there's also a 2012 window. And he told me, David, regardless of whether you believe that there's anything to the 2012 story or not, these guys do. And they have planned their entire movement to this New World Order around the idea of what they think is happening in 2012. And they've calibrated all of their plans around that. So whether anybody wants to believe that the Mayan calendar means anything or not, these guys have organized themselves to make that day significant in terms of what they're going to do on the planet.
Well, you know, there was a, I wish I'd remember his name, but there's a famous French magician who did a bunch of math, and he predicted the day he was going to die. And when that day came around, he was so scared, he committed suicide. but, you know, I think we are dealing with a self-fulfilling prophecy here.
Right.
And these people have been planning something. I'm sure of that, because they told me they wanted to kill 4 billion people.
Right.
So clearly they've been planning something, and then we're doing everything we can to stop them, because we don't want to see 4 billion people die.
Well, this China announcement is different than what you guys are doing with the Danielle Del Bosco lawsuit with Davos UN Forum, right? I mean, those are two different things.
Well, this is different. The Chinese announcement is something different, but what we're told by the Asian society is that we have these trillion-dollar checks, and we should go ahead with the lawsuit and accuse them of stealing it. But they said we cannot try to cash the check for 2 years. In other words, there's a freeze on money until they make sure all the corruption is gone. So we have a trillion-dollar check, and we can sue the Federal Reserve Board and the Davos World Forum and the UN for stealing it, but it's too early to try to cash it. So they're saying, yes, we need to show the Western legal authorities need to show their independence and honesty by going after these people. And they should. I mean, they're murderers and they're thieves, and they shouldn't be acting with impunity.
I think the whole world is going to get behind that. I mean, they don't really have any supporters left.
No, and this is a case where military types and police types who believe in the rule of law, who are very square and straight and you know, don't want to do anything against the system, would be very, very happy to have a chance to work within the system legally, get rid of these scumbags.
Okay, you just heard my interview with Benjamin Fulford. We did discuss some more things after this recording cut off. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened exactly. But one of the things that I asked him about was the Pentagon, because he claimed that this group contacted him and said that they were working with the Pentagon and that they wanted to disclose portal technology, literally Stargate technology. Fulford has revealed multiple groups that want to do things for the planet that are so remarkable that it's absolutely mind-boggling. They want to bring out free energy. They want to bring out gravity shielding. They want to be able to desalinate ocean water. They want to be able to literally heal the planet and help us move into a golden age. There are certain negative groups that don't want that to happen, and they are fighting like crazy to stop it. As I talked about in the introductory MP3 that's a companion to this one, available on divinecosmos.com, they are trying to set off the New Madrid Fault in the U.S., just like what happened with the Fukushima disaster in Japan. They want to set off about 15 different nuclear reactors that are along that fault line. I don't think that this is something where all we have to do is try to notify people and warn people about what's happening. I do believe you should do that, okay? I think it's important to spread the word that these people are doing this, that the technology is real, that HAARP does exist, that it can actually create cataclysms, that Japan has all sorts of funky stuff around it, including weird magnetometer readings on HAARP in the days preceding the quake, including patents that people are now digging up that show that this could work. There was a quote from Secretary of Defense William Cohen where he says others are engaging in a type of eco-terrorism where they can trigger earthquakes. So look, this stuff is out there. You don't have to be a skeptic anymore. We know that there are very opportunistic things going on that seem to benefit these guys at just the right time. In 2010, you had the Haiti earthquake. Haiti was apparently the country where all the funds were being transferred through as their bank accounts were being wiped out. You then had a massive earthquake in Chile. Chile was the country at the head of an alliance in South America where all the different countries were coming together. They had a huge summit. They declared Chile to be the head of where this was all going to be happening. And boom, the next day they get this massive earthquake. Right during that same time, in fact, directly after the Chile quake, all these ore fish start washing up on shore in Japan. Now, these are deep sea fish that don't usually appear on the surface, but in Japanese lore, it's a precursor to earthquakes. And then a year later, bam, you get this big quake in Japan. Fulford sources are saying that there was a nuclear weapon involved in this, that it drilled down into the crust and that it was set off. I don't know if that's part of what they're going to try to do here in the U.S. We really don't know. There may be some kind of an earthquake. It's possible. I certainly don't think it's going to be anywhere near as bad or as severe as what they want. And as I described in the introductory blog, you have the power to control the outcome. In my new book, The Source Field Investigations, I give hard scientific proof that these various cataclysmic activities of the Earth are being driven by the gravitational field. And specifically, as gravity flows into the Earth, it has a rotational movement in it. This is not much different than the Coriolis effect, which means that water swirls down the toilet bowl in one direction in the northern hemisphere, another direction in the southern hemisphere. We know there's a spin field in gravity, we just don't realize exactly how it works and what it's doing. So all I'm saying is there is a spin field in gravity, and gravity is actually the energy of consciousness. I have very hardcore scientific proof with over 1,300 different pieces of documentation to prove this, coming out in the new book. So when that's out there, it's going to be a very powerful tool that we can use for disclosure. Up until then, I can share with you the gist of what's in there. And the point is that our consciousness can either interrupt these spin fields of gravity or can strengthen them. When we go into a state of meditation, we create nice, smooth sine waves in our brainwave patterns. You can see that on EKG. It'll be printed right out there. I'm sorry, an EEG, rather. That's the brainwave one. You look at those brainwaves, they're nice and smooth. Well, that's not just happening in your mind. You're actually creating waves of energy that can provably go outside your physical body and ripple into the environment. Those waves strengthen the natural spiraling currents in gravity, whereas If you think hateful thoughts, stressful thoughts, angry thoughts, if you're trying to control people, if you're having a bad day, your brain waves actually show that. It's a different state of consciousness. It's more scattered. And as a result, what's actually happening is that you're creating friction. You've now set up a wall that these currents of gravity have to flow against. And it's like somebody throwing the brakes on. It's an interruption. It gets in the way. When enough people do that in a given area, the spin field can't flow at all. It gets stopped up. But the currents are still moving. And what this means is that the currents build up pressure against the area they can't move through. That pressure gets higher and higher, and eventually, the pressure has to blow through. It has to do something. It has to break out of the confinement that it's been in. And what you get is a big nasty earthquake or a volcanic eruption, which is the result of the pressure in the mantle, this fluid-like mantle energy that gets stopped up, and then it blasts out through the surface of the earth in a volcano, or it creates plates rubbing against each other in an earthquake. Nobody has ever really been tying together the relationship between earthquakes and the fact that they're floating on liquid. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling you that the liquid has currents in it, just like you see currents in the atmosphere. It would be impossible for that liquid to remain still due to the centrifugal force of the Earth's rotation. And I'm telling you that the ancient peoples were right when they said that our health directly affects the health of the Earth. When we are in positive thoughts, the Earth's climate is good, the weather is good, there's no earthquakes, there's no volcanoes, and when we exist in stress, there's stress in the Earth. So right now, again, to bring it right up to date with what Benjamin Fulford just posted this past Tuesday, just a couple days ago as I'm making this announcement, there is an attempt to attack the New Madrid Fault. This is very serious. I don't want to spread fear and doom, and I want to give you the tools of knowledge to let you know that you could potentially influence the outcome. The Russian pyramid studies have proven that when they built these pyramids in Russia, this was done with PVC pipe and fiberglass, some of which were 144 feet tall. They're steep, more like obelisks. That there actually was a noticeable change in the weather patterns, in the earthquake activity. The earthquakes all but completely stopped. There was just a bunch of little ones that didn't do anything. The ozone hole closes up. Severe storms are deflected from the area. And most interestingly, these pyramids also had a noticeable effect on human consciousness. If people were given psychotropic drugs like LSD that would normally make them have schizoidal symptoms, they stopped having those symptoms around the pyramid. Their mind energy was regularized. And granite that was stored inside the pyramid was then built into various prisons in Russia, and all those prisoners experienced a remarkable behavioral change where there stopped being violence in the prisons, people stopped getting off of, they actually stopped alcohol and drug addictions. All kinds of amazing things happened just from the pyramid energy. So that proves that the pyramid energy is harnessing the energy of mind. I believe the reason why this works is that gravity is the result of flowing energy moving into every atom in the Earth. These atoms need that energy to survive, and so those atoms are also flowing into the shape of a pyramid. That creates a fluid-like current, a vortex, if you will, like a whirlpool, just by the simple shape of the pyramid. So you could have a teepee, you could have a cathedral with its domed roof, you could have those interesting domed buildings you see in the Islamic countries, you could have a Vietnamese rice farmer who has that weird conical hat that he wears. All of these things are technologies that actually will increase health, increase vitality, because they're harnessing this source field. They're actually creating a vortex current. Now, we can create those currents in the Earth. We can strengthen the currents that the Earth needs to function in a healthy way. Pyramid technology will do this. The Russian pyramids did reduce earthquakes. They did reduce severe weather. And I also talk about in the other MP3 that you might have heard, the introduction, that our consciousness can, in fact, reduce terrorism and fatalities all around the world. A mere 7,000 people in meditation created a 72% reduction in terrorism around the world. That means literally 3 out of 4 people decided not to pick up that gun, decided not to blow off that bomb, but rather to do positive things rather than negative things. Now, how in the heck does that work? I show extensive evidence in my new book that we are all thinking online with a global consciousness, a part of our minds, a part of our thinking mind that you're actually using right now as you hear my words, is not in your brain at all. That's why when certain people make inventions, other people invent it at the same time in various parts around the world. This has been documented, it's gone on for years. There's all sorts of very fascinating new experiments that I reveal in my book showing solid proof that we have a collective mind and that when certain people solve something, other people then come up with a solution much, much faster and much, much easier. I also go into this in my weekend convergence workshops and lectures. The important point I want to make right now is that whether you believe that it's true or not, I would say, what harm can be done in trying? If these guys are trying to do up the New Madrid Fault, if they want to blow off all these nuclear reactors and basically wipe out the U.S., isn't it worth your time to try this out? Isn't it worth your time to at least see if maybe it works? I certainly think it is. I don't want us to feel disempowered as if there's nothing we can do. Well, these guys are fiddling on the brink of their own destruction with trying to ruin the Earth, or at least a good part of America. I think that we do have the power. I've shown the evidence. I've done the homework. This is not speculation anymore. This is science. So what I'm asking for you to do with me right now is a little meditative exercise. I'd like you to take a nice deep breath with me. I'd like you to visualize a positive future for this planet. A future in which all the things that Fulford has been talking about can come to pass, or something similar, whatever is for the highest and best good of this planet. Just visualize that with me. Breathe through and breathe into the trust, the knowingness that we do live in a metaphysical reality, that there are forces of consciousness out there that love us more than we can imagine, that are guiding and protecting this planet through its birthing process, as we are moving into a much more enlightened and noble period of our history where none of this negativity will be allowed to persist. Everybody knows about it. It's being eradicated. There is nothing these negative forces can do to stop it. However, we do have control over the outcome. So as you breathe with me now, we can send our energy into that fault line. Visualize the Mississippi River running down the middle of the U.S. Visualize that fault line that's underneath it. I want you to see the stress in that fault line going away. I want you to ease that stress out with your mind now. Visualize this in your mind. Visualize what might even look like red, nasty, colored energy. Just that red is going away. And what's coming in instead is a blue. It's a cooling color. It's a soothing, healing energy. You love the Earth. You love this planet that has given you life, that has given you the opportunity to be aware, to have all the experiences that you've had. You can send your love. We send that love to the planet. We send that love into that fault line. We take the stress away. We ease out the stress. We don't need this to happen. We don't need to have a cataclysm. We can breathe it through. We can seal that prayer, that hope for a positive future. Today, in this moment, we make that covenant with our own higher self. We breathe out the anger. We breathe out the hatred. We breathe out the stress in our own lives. We know that as we pursue personal healing, that holographically we're pursuing planetary healing. We take those events that are causing us to be stressed out, to be angry, to be afraid, to be sad, and we just let it go. Because ultimately, in the greater sense, we do want to responsibly deal with whatever is in front of us as a problem, both individually and in the world. We do not want to be ostriches burying our heads in the sand. We want to take proactive steps to heal the planet. And we also want to do our internal manicuring. We want to heal what's going on inside. We want to have peace in our minds, peace in our hearts, so that there will be peace in the world because it's a hologram. We're all sharing the same mind, and as we think peaceful thoughts, we're re-uploading peace into the hologram. which regularizes these spin currents and gravity so that the weather smooths out, the earthquakes don't have to happen, the volcanic eruptions don't have to happen, and we can glide through this transitional process and embrace the future that has been predicted in so many ancient cultures, a golden age, in which things like levitation, telekinesis, telepathy, instantaneous healing are as effortless as walking down the street or breathing. I'm David Wilcock. I recommend you do this exercise right now. It's very important. We do seem to be right on the brink of some very intriguing disclosure things that are going to happen. Again, please go back and listen to part one on my website, divinecosmos.com. That is also free. That's all I have the time for now. Both these MP3s should be able to fit on CDs if you want to burn them that way. Thank you so much. I really appreciate all your positive, loving words of support and encouragement. Please help us with this campaign to get Source Field Investigations out there on a big scope. It's not that difficult. I thank you so much, and peace be with you.